Good morning, Chelveston, Caldergod and Chelston Rise. It's Saturday the 25th of April and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Well, what a lovely reaction to yesterday's podcast. Some days a topic really hits the spot. And yesterday my phone didn't stop buzzing. People stopped me in the street, sent me emails and called me up. Those who knew Glenn Harwood really appreciated hearing some new stories about his life. Even those that had never met him appreciated hearing about a man who had had such an impact on his country, and who then turned his attention to serving his village, his district, and finally his county. Our son Johnny called me at 6:45 yesterday morning. He knew Glenn well, and he'd listened to the podcast on his way to work. Glenn was one of the inspirations for Johnny joining the army, and then for him signing up with the Royal Signals when he left Sandhurst. But Johnny had two corrections to make. To be honest, he's getting a bit like H. Firstly, the Royal Signals Lanyard Challenge. Yes, it's 40 miles, and yes, it's for £40 rucksack. But no self-respecting soldier should take 40 hours to do that march. When Johnny did the challenge, the worst team did 40 miles in 26 hours. Johnny's team did it in 13. Think about it. The average walker on a ramble will do 3 miles an hour at a normal pace. Johnny's team averaged more than 3 miles an hour for 13 hours straight with £40 rucksacks on their back. That's 80,000 steps each. No wonder they had stress fractures in their feet. The whole point of this challenge is you have to carry the Army's communications equipment wherever it needs to go, and you can't take 40 hours to get there. The competition has been actually going for 40 years, believe it or not, and the record is 9 hours 41 minutes to cover 40 miles. Johnny, pull your socks up, son. The second correction concerned the Revolutionary Military Doctrine that Glenn was awarded his MBE for. Johnny was amazed. He'd learned about this very early in his days at the Royal Signals, but he had no idea that Glenn was responsible. Yesterday I called it the BFT, which if you remember stood for the Big Effing Tent. Typical coarse army speak. At least this was what Jenny told me. Well, Jenny, things move on very quickly in the army, and as you know, they love acronyms. Glenn's development entered military doctrine as the BFOT Command Centre. Now, very few people actually question what an acronym means, as there are thousands of them in the army. Well, BFOT actually stood for the Big F-Off Tent, if you excuse my French. One of Johnny's mates had recently found the archive documents from the 7th Armoured Brigade in the Gulf War, where this was all being discussed. Johnny was delighted to have known the man responsible, and will be doing his best to build on the shoulders of giants. And Glenn was certainly one of those giants. Now, several people let me know the delights of drinking with Glenn. And what amazed me was that everyone described a different watering hole. Obviously, many drank in the Star and Garter with him, some in the Swan at Newton Bromswold, others in the Conservative Club, some at the station in Rushen. Just how many places can one man drink? Now, I once asked Glenn why he'd joined a political party. It didn't seem to square with his neutral stance as a senior army officer sworn to serve any government. I didn't see him as an ideological man. His answer was simple. You can't make a difference as an independent. So he needed the backing of a political party. And the beer at the Conservative Club was much better than Labour could offer. There were fewer rules and no silly committees. Most importantly, whenever he went into the Conservative Club, someone bought him a beer and let him drone on for hours. So conservative it was. Actually, knowing Glenn, the facts never got in the way of a good story. Realistically, Glenn wanted to make a difference. The Conservatives had been leading East Northamptonshire for years, and Glenn was just hitching his wagon to the winning horse. Now, when I spoke to my mother yesterday, she'd heard the podcast and remembered Glenn fondly. Whenever they came down to stay with us, we would go to the pub on a Friday evening for a meal, and Glenn would be in there holding forth as usual. Now, my father and Glenn got on famously. Glenn was a shooting man, and his dogs 5 and 6 were working dogs. Now, my dad loves to eat game birds, and when I was a child, he often came back from the pub at Christmas with a brace of pheasants from a man I thought was called Mr. Poacher. It was years before it dawned on me that our Christmas dinner had been provided by the Earl of Dudley, without him even knowing it. When Glenn heard this, he told my father he'd see what he could do. And by Saturday evening, there was a brace of pheasant on our doorstep. Now, after years of plucking pheasants as a kid, I'm a vegetarian of nearly 40 years. Nevertheless, I found myself hanging pheasants in my garage, courtesy of Glenn Harwood, MBE. Now, one resident rang me yesterday to ask if she'd heard correctly. Did Glenn really have a dog called Five? Apparently, my diction isn't too strong at 5 a.m. in the morning, and she couldn't hear clearly. Actually, Glenn and Jenny have dogs called Five and Six. And I thought this was following on from dogs 1 to 4, but I was wrong. Glenn and his mate Pedro, the one of the naked skydive from yesterday, went off scuba diving in Cyprus one day. And when they got to the boat, they found they'd only got one pair of flippers and one mask between them. But still they went diving. They had one flipper each, and they shared the air mask underwater. Now when they surfaced, the dive master thought they were mad and nicknamed the Dangerous Brothers. This name stuck. Glenn was DB1, Pedro was DB2. And then they were joined by two equally crazy mates who became DB3 and DB4. They kept up with their increasingly daft and dangerous escapades for as long as they were out there. When Glenn and Jenny returned to the UK, they got a dog, a young puppy called Charlie. But Glenn was adamant. No self-respecting army dog could be called Charlie. So Jenny said that the dog could be going on all the Dangerous Brothers escapades and so might as well be called DB5. And Glenn shortened this to Five, and so the theme stuck. So there you have it, folks. Indeed, a legend of a man, but more importantly, a man that the people of this village clearly remember fondly and proudly. After Glenn died, Jenny was nervous about wearing Glenn's medals on Remembrance Day, but we all encouraged her for two reasons. Firstly, her husband had served his country, county, district, and parish with distinction. But secondly, and probably more importantly, she'd had to put up with it all, and that was no mean feat. Jenny, wear those medals with pride. You deserve them all. Thank you.